Breaking news, the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to subpoena the Twitter CEO over censorship and looking to a hearing next Friday. We'll talk about that and more today on JSecul Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecul Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Well, there is a lot of news to talk about today. One, you've got, of course, the hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. They are coming to a close today. There's just the testimony. She's done. She's finished her portion, her 2 days of testimony. She did an excellent job. I think Democrats on the committee just looked outright foolish whenever they tried to challenge her. And their statements, again, that just don't resonate with the American people, and trying to make her out to be some kind of radical because of her faith or because she's pro-life, and all those issues. I think she did an excellent job. She had no notes. She had the notepad. She showed up. She brought no documents. She didn't have people whispering in her ear. She was able to go through. It was, again, I think she put forward her judicial philosophy in each scenario she was brought to, whether it was like the hot button topics that people kind of tune into politically, or that are politically charged, or the issues like business issues, antitrust issues, economic, a lot of the issues that go before the Supreme Court that don't get as much attention. So those hearings wrap up, and then you've got likely will be a vote next week. It'll be on the 22nd. That will be her vote out of committee. We expect a party line partisan vote, 12 to 10, and then it heads to Mitch McConnell. So you see the kind of flow here. President nominates, the Judiciary Committee has their hearings. They can hold it over for a week. That's normal practice. Then they vote, and then it goes. Then it's in Mitch McConnell's hands, the Senate Majority Leader, to figure out the voting time on the Senate floor, because it'll be an open time for debate. So you'll open it up for debate and how long that will go, and then you'll file a cloture motion ultimately, and then an actual vote to confirm Judge Barrett. Right now, it looks like that is on track. Now, you know, with these Supreme Court nominations and in time with COVID, you don't want to rule any possibility out of something coming up. So don't get overconfident ever until the confirmation is done. But I wanted to update you on that now that we've got some huge breaking news. Because the Senate Judiciary Committee is very busy right now, obviously, with this hearing on a Supreme Court justice with a lifetime appointment. But, Dad, they have now announced, after Twitter made that move to censor a New York Post article about Hunter Biden yesterday, they have now announced that this action by Twitter had just gone too far with the censorship. And they've been doing this for a few weeks, and it's really close to an election, so a lot of different laws come into place. And they have announced that they will have a vote to subpoena the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, and have him appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee next Friday, Dad.
Well, here's the risk of what is happening, and I think we have to be very clear as to what this is. And the risk is that what you have is a major social media platform skewing the news, and skewing the news in such a way that the only reason they backed off of it was because there was other news outlets started reporting the New York Post story. So putting the whole issue aside on what's in the New York Post story, the idea that social media platforms are going to now be in the business of kind of skewing what you're going to see and what you're not going to see is very dangerous, especially 19 days out or 18 days out from an election for the president of the United States. And they then closed various people's Twitter feeds, including the White House press office. The press secretary, Kayleigh's, was actually frozen. So they happened to our colleague, Rick Grinnell. I mean, this is what's got to stop in order for there to be at least a free flow of information back and forth. I want to add one thing on the Supreme Court nominee. Amy Barrett proved why she will be a great justice. She was unflappable. She answered the questions. She did it forthrightly. She drew the line where it would be inappropriate to answer a particular question on how you'll vote in a particular case. And frankly, I think some of these senators ended up looking, quite frankly, Jordan, ridiculous.
All right, folks, we're going to continue. We're going to start taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. This Twitter censorship, has it gone too far this close to an election where they selectively censor out news that appears to hurt Joe Biden? They don't do anything about Chinese propaganda. So 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. So we've got breaking news. So the three senators stepped out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. They include the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, and Josh Hawley, Senator Hawley. So those three senators have made statements and have announced that the Senate Judiciary Committee will be holding a vote to subpoena Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, for his testimony next Friday before the Senate Judiciary Committee in relation to this censorship of selective censorship of news outlets. Listen to what Senator Ted Cruz had to say. I think he kind of summed it up perfectly, because it, whatever you think about the news that's reported and what's come out about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the laptop, listen to what Senator Ted Cruz had to say. I think this is the key.
The committee today will be noticing a markup on Tuesday to issue a subpoena to Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee next Friday, to come before this committee and the American people and explain why Twitter is abusing their corporate power to silence the press and to cover up allegations of corruption. And let me be clear, I don't know if these New York Post stories are true or not. Those are questions Vice President Biden should answer. But Twitter and Facebook and big tech billionaires don't get to censor political speech and actively interfere in the election. That's what they're doing right now. And so on Tuesday, the Judiciary Committee, the full committee, will be voting on subpoenas to subpoena Jack Dorsey to come before our committee.
All right, so there you go. I want to go to Than Bennett, too, in Washington, D.C. Than, because I think this is a major announcement. This has been conservatives have been upset about this specifically because it's been conservatives that have been targeted. Our own Rick Grenell, special advisor to the ACLJ, a former acting director of national intelligence and cabinet member, was locked out of his Twitter account last week? Yeah, last week, and had to have that resolved. And that's someone who has the ability to get it resolved. A lot of people don't. And so this, again, Than, has been resonating amongst conservatives. And now Twitter has gone and started banning newspapers, one of the fourth largest newspaper company, news outlet in the country.
Yeah, this is not supposed to happen in the United States of America, Jordan. I mean, withholding information from voters right before an election, that happens in banana republics, not the United States of America, until maybe now. Look, Jack Dorsey could have gone out and used the platform that he runs to say that, I don't know, maybe he should say this story, in his view, is unverified and salacious. I've heard those words somewhere before. He didn't do that. He stopped millions of American people from being able to access the same information that he used to come to his conclusion. But Jordan, I want to underscore something you said about Ted Cruz and Chairman Graham and Senator Hawley's announcement that they are going to subpoena Jack Dorsey. By the way, Senator Hawley has also invited Mark Zuckerberg to be a part of that. He traditionally, Jordan, has been more willing to appear voluntarily. Either way, I expect both of them will be there on Friday. I think they will use subpoenas for both if they have to. But at this point, I think that it'll only be necessary for Jack Dorsey. But here's the point I wanted to make. They're going to take that vote on Tuesday. Then they're going to report Judge Barrett out of committee on Thursday, and then they're going to have this hearing on Friday. How would you like to be a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee over the last couple of weeks or next week? It's going to be a very full week for them.
Yeah, Dad.
This is really big. I mean, you know what? I think that the main thing we're saying, and I think this is the point that has to be reiterated, and let me say this very clearly. The idea that these tech companies, and we utilize them. I mean, look, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on all these platforms. But the idea that weeks before an election, literally days before an election, in fact, the election is going on right now in many states, people are voting. The idea that they would skew the news, which is what they've done here, there is no justification for that. And they'd have to be particularly careful when you're in the vicinity of an election. Now, as Senator Cruz said, whether what's in there is true or not true or partially true, I'm not going to get into that. I have no idea. But this idea that you would take the fourth largest distributed newspaper in the country and start censoring out their news items, and the only reason you allow them to be posted is because, well, others started reporting it, I think that's the problem. So we'll see if it gets addressed in these upcoming hearings. But again, it does show you what an interesting couple of weeks it's going to be. And folks that are listening, let me tell you what we could do. And I'm thinking about this. I'm kind of talking out loud. And that is, before that hearing, I would like our members to express their concerns over this kind of censorship. And maybe Matt and our team, Ben and others, could start looking at, and our social media team, putting together a petition that we could deliver to these senators right when that hearing starts. Dan, when is the date of the hearing with the tech companies?
Yeah, it's going to be next Friday, so the 23rd, Jay.
So we'd have to move. I mean, Jordan, we'd have to move quickly, but I think we could get 100,000 signatures or more, maybe, from each of the 50 states.
Because people have had enough, unless, of course, Facebook and Twitter stop us from telling people about signing the petition, things like that. See, this is the problem. Having the fact that I can utter that sentence and it's not a joke.
I'm just hoping we stay on the air.
I mean, I'm seriously, when we talked about today, going on the air and doing what would appear on Twitter, and it appears on Twitter that the Senate is going to subpoena the head of the CEO of Twitter over censorship, which, there are a whole host of different laws and structures within the government. There's FCC, there's, of course, the election interference. The list goes on and on. So it's totally within the purview of the Senate Judiciary Committee to be reviewing this. But then, of course, they can shut you off. Now, the question is, was this the step too far for Twitter? And now, that because they now went after not just individuals, but they're now going after corporations, corporate news outlets that have been in existence for many, many, many years, with different publications that share different views, that don't come to conclusions, but report what they've received. Report, you know, this is New York Times does the same thing. I think a lot of these outlets, again, if it was about Donald Trump, I don't think there'd be any censorship. And I think the New York Times would have published the same information about one of Donald Trump's family members if you just substitute the name and they'd put out the information, and wouldn't censor it.
Yeah, are they going to take down New York Times articles or Washington Post articles about the Russia investigation, which has now been proved to be completely false, a lot of the reporting, or the Steele dossier? Are they going to go back and say, now that's not, we're going to start censoring those out? Of course they're not. So this is what, you know, we used to call this in the classic litigation sense, and I handled a lot of these cases at the U.S. Supreme Court, and that is viewpoint discrimination. It's not like we're saying we're not going to run newspaper articles on our platforms. We're just not going to do that. Instead, they say we're not going to run this message or this viewpoint on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it might be. But Jordan, you're right. You know, before we went on air, we said, you know, we got to be careful ourselves here because we could be the victims of the censorship. And one of our colleagues, Rick Cornell, has already been that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Let me play Senator Lindsey Graham on this. He's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So for this to move forward quickly like this, of course, he has to be on board as well. He had this to say.
Nobody in Twitter and social media shut down anything about Trump and Russia. So we're going to proceed Tuesday. Hopefully the Democrats on the committee will be as interested in this as we are, because it's us today, it could be them tomorrow.
That's the whole point, is that it shouldn't be partisan at all. Unfortunately, it could become that, because you've got the more liberal news outlets going after another news outlet. I mean, it's kind of sickening to see, actually, in a country where we have freedom of the press in the Constitution, First Amendment, and freedom of speech. And, you know, they love protecting their sources and confidential sources, and they've gone to the Supreme Court and gotten those protections for themselves. And the famous New York Times cases, they love putting out classified info that gets leaked to them. Unless it's near an election and it's something about the candidate they prefer, or sometimes if even it will endorse in their editorial pages.
And that's because, and the Supreme Court has been unanimous, that viewpoint discrimination is unconstitutional. Now, whether those standards would apply to a private-owned social media company, that's a different story. But so that's a different; those are different legal issues. But the general rule, I mean, you shouldn't even be thinking about, is that a outlet, if there was any state action, and there'd be a legal question on that, you cannot discriminate based on particular viewpoints. But let's go take it a step further here. Now they're going to call for a hearing. I hope the practice is, I wish the hearing wasn't necessary. Unfortunately, it is, because you cannot have this kind of censorship. Jordan, we're, what are we, 19, 20 days away? I mean, 18 days away from the election? This is like happening really soon. And the idea that you'd be skewing the votes, I just think is really dangerous.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, again, we're under 3 weeks. We're under 3 weeks now from the election date. And people have got to understand that this becomes interference. That picking and choosing what information gets disseminated, we're 19 days away. 19 days away. People are, you know, the early voting in states that have that, I mean, that's now underway. The in-person early voting is underway. I see the lines. I drove in to the studio today. I mean, there's actual lines for early voting. And these are just the first couple days where I am. So this has an impact. And I think the bigger story here is it's believe what you want or not, like Ted Cruz said, or get to the bottom of and have Joe Biden answer the questions. Why did his campaign say there was no meeting ever, and now they're suddenly saying they're not putting that out? That's, you know, politics. They got to answer that. But why are we censoring people from sending out tweets? And by the way, we're preparing a response to Twitter right now on behalf of Rick Rennell because of him being blocked. That's actually going out today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Here's the issue I go to, because, you know, this information came out from Catherine Herridge. We haven't had a lot of time to cover it yet, but this is key. This is the FBI declassified a spreadsheet that the Bureau, and I'm holding up in my hands the spreadsheet from the FBI, which, again, it's not very impressive. It's long. It's a long spreadsheet when you have to print it out, but this is the spreadsheet used by the FBI to try and corroborate the Steele dossier. Now, there's a lot of problems with it, but one of the main problems you'll see is that to corroborate the allegations, what do they cite? News stories. They actually cite news stories not as reports, but as a way to corroborate allegations. They're the FBI. If they see a news story, they're supposed to go and corroborate if they think there was wrongdoing or of something course, they need to investigate. But they were using that news sources. This gets to, again, they abused the use of the news at the FBI under the Obama administration, and now they're censoring the news through their tech company friends.
Of course, news that they made sure got leaked out, or at least was leaked out. Remember, Christopher Steele's contract with the FBI was terminated for what reason? Leaking information to the press. So he leaked information based on nothing, right? The unsourced, unverified, got a media story. The FBI then takes the media story that they fired Chris Steele for leaking, turn it into a FISA warrant, and take it to a FISA court. That's what they did.
Well, I mean, look at this. I'm going through the footnotes. So for each one of these, if you're watching, I'll go through. There's a report, there's an allegation, and there's the corroboration and analysis notes. And they put quotes in there. And if you look at the quotes, on the first one, they're just quoting for corroboration the Washington Post. And then the first footnote is a Politico article. The second one is a Washington Post article. The third is Washington Post. Fourth, Politico. Fifth is Washington Post again. I think Amazon is involved with this, folks, since they own Washington Post. You got to ask Jeff Bezos about that, huh? Washington Post again. Washington Post again. These are all, I'm going through just the first 14. It's literally all news sources until they get to a couple of State Department records of Hillary Clinton's travel. And then it goes back to Washington Post, Politico, Washington Post. That's the first, you know, couple of pages of sites. All news outlets, both those same two, Politico and Washington Post, one owned by a huge tech company, Amazon. And again, they're using that to corroborate, not as something to say, we need to look at it because it's being reported. They're saying, well, if they're reporting it too, it must be something that we can actually use to justify, ultimately, investigations that led to FISA warrants to spy on American citizens who happen to be, they left out, that FBI attorney has pled guilty to a crime, that American citizen was a government asset, a U.S. asset. Carter Page, his cover was blown. Because the FBI attorney who has pled guilty to a crime left that information out before it got to the FISA, people putting together the FISA application to get a warrant on Carter Page. And they cite news outlets. But yet these same big tech companies are now censoring news. So this is the problem, as Ted Cruz, Senator Graham said. You have to do something about it. And it's not just because it's happening to conservatives. It's because it just shouldn't be happening, Dad. That is the key here, is that these companies they are private companies, but there are laws, there are rules, and they have to abide by them.
Well, they all have internal rules as well. And evidently, you know, they made this big statement about how they were going to be fair and neutral, and they were not going to violate the laws, and they were not going to violate their own internal policies. And my question to these tech companies but it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. And I don't know who pushed the button to say the New York Post was going to be the one tagged. I don't know who was the one who decided, oh, that's going too far, we're just not going to do that. But that's not what the law is set up to do. And I think that there's something else here. You know, when our colleague Rick Grinnell was censored and ultimately opened, you know, the question that I ask is, of course, did they ever say to Rick or to Rick's team, hey, we shouldn't have done this. This was inappropriate. Did they ever say that? Did they ever acknowledge the wrongdoing of this one-sided censorship that they're engaged in?
No, I mean, this is the issue, is that they kind of just go ahead and they unblock you after the public pressure, after they've been contacted by attorneys, but they don't say that what they did was wrong. And so we're actually, in Rick's situation, demanding that they acknowledge what they did was inappropriate and wrong, and so that there's some record of them actually saying it wasn't just some kind of accident or some kind of algorithm, but it was a decision that was wrong, and apologizing for that kind of action. And see, this is just building on the issue, and that was much less because he's an individual, and they were trying to say, well, because he was holding up the ballots, that it was somehow that were given to him by someone he knows who said they could be shared. The ballots were to someone he knows, two deceased parents who had been deceased for a number of years, and the friends gave him said, you should show people this is happening. I've held out ballots that I've received at different addresses, and then my wife has received at different places we have lived, and we've gotten live ballots sent to us. I held them up on this broadcast. It's something people are doing, Dad, to show that this mail-in ballot is causing a problem because there's so many live ballots floating around, and if bad people get a hold of those, or if, like my last address where we were renting, but we were registered to vote there, if people got, they wouldn't necessarily recognize the name and say, oh, this is the people in the house before because we were renting, but they got live ballots. And by the way, that's a huge swing state. What if they don't even read it closely and just start and send it in, or they just don't understand, say, okay, I need to send this back in some way. I mean, there's so many problems with that, and yet he got censored. He got blocked. He could not access his account. Then it got unblocked, and it just kind of, but nothing from Twitter. You know, it's like, and there, that's someone who has prominence. If you're a normal person, it's much tougher.
Yeah, Craig Parshall from our office, who's our senior counsel to our ACLJ, and is our expert in big tech. I mean, that's what he does. He does it for organizations all over the country. He's on it, and because even though they have opened it back up, you want to be in a situation where this does not happen again. So how do you prevent it from happening again is to get a formal recognition that it should not have happened in the first place, and that's what we're doing. And your support of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice allows us to do that so that we can help not only our team. By the way, we've represented ministries and organizations that have had the same problems, the very same problems and issues on other matters with Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms. We've had great results. Craig gets great results, but I know that Jews for Jesus had trouble with something, and Craig was able to get it fixed. And again, it took, he's got a great knowledge in this area, but your support of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice doesn't only bring you this program every day, doesn't let us fight just for those FOIA cases to find out what's going on in government, doesn't just allow us to do the work globally as it relates to Israel or religious liberty in Europe and freedom and life issues, but it also makes sure that airwaves can be open for communication. So support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. Make a tax-deductible donation if you're in that position to financially do so. We appreciate that so we can continue to do all this work and respond immediately as situations arise. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. I mean, I have to wonder now if Twitter stays on this path, whether we need to just say, let us know if you're being censored. We need to think about that too, to send a mass amount of these to get the people unblocked, because most people don't have access to attorneys to get it done. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom. Be with
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Second Half Hour, Jay Sekulow Live. We're at the final witness for the hearings Judge Amy Barrett. So she's done testifying, doing her, and that was yesterday and the day before. You hear from here the witnesses that will close, and then they will schedule a vote for the Senate Judiciary Committee and that'll occur next week. And if this stays on track the way it looks, that'll be a partisan vote, 12 to 10 out of the committee. Don't expect more than that. But then it goes to the majority leader, Senator Mitch McConnell, who can then kind of put the schedule together for when there's debate on the nomination, so that senators who aren't on the committee can have time to weigh in and make their remarks on the Senate floor. And then ultimately it comes to a cloture vote and then an actual vote on the nomination. That's where we're looking. Where do we look for on a date to actually see when people will be seeing the yays and nays come in, if you will?
Week of October 26th, sometime in that week. It depends on when Leader McConnell files cloture. He's already said he is going to take it to the floor the Friday after the vote, so that would be the 23rd. He could choose to file cloture that day, Jordan, so the vote could be as early as Monday. My guess is it'll probably be more like Tuesday or Wednesday, but we'll see. Like you said, that's up to Leader McConnell. It's his choice to make, but he's committed to taking it right to the floor. Earlier this morning, Jordan, in executive session, Chairman Graham officially put it on the calendar. They officially held it over, and they officially noticed the committee vote for the 22nd. So that is going to happen. And I just wanted to make one note. Right now, that final witness you've talked about, it's a woman by the name of Laura Wolk. She was a student of Judge Barrett's at Notre Dame Law. Jordan, she became the first blind female to ever be a clerk on the Supreme Court of the United States. Quite a moment hearing her testimony right now. She's testifying passionately in favor of Judge Barrett. Judge Barrett was very essential in making sure she had the equipment and the assistance that she needed at Notre Dame Law to succeed. Clearly, Jordan, she succeeded, became a clerk on the Supreme Court, and is thriving in her career now. So pretty powerful testimony right now to close up that hearing.
All right. So that's where we are with Judge Barrett and her path to becoming Justice Barrett, and we'll continue to update you on that. So there will be kind of a week then where there will not be much to see on the hearing or to hear about in the hearing. And then there'll be the vote in the committee, and then it moves on. So after today, it kind of goes a little bit quiet for a week on the actual, not that people will stop talking about it, but that there won't be official business going on that we can watch and tune into and see. And then they'll come back together for that vote. Is that right there?
Yeah, I think it's a good point that you make there, though, Jordan, because one of the arguments today from Democrats on the committee is that they don't have time to consider this nomination. Well, what about the next 7 days? I mean, yeah. Are they going to complain over the next 7 days where there's not a whole lot going on? That's the whole reason that Chairman Graham allowed this holdover, so that you can look at all this material that she turned in, look at all the responses to the questions that she gave,
okay, hold
and
on,
make
hold
an evaluation,
on. We got
breaking
Jordan. News, then. Dianne Feinstein just did it again. Hot mic. She didn't know her microphone was on. Take
oh
a look. We have the audio. And here's what she said. Take a listen.
She's been pro-life for a long time. So I suspect that her is the deepest personally. And it comes with a religion.
You heard what she said there. She's been pro-life for a long time. And I suspect...
Her whole life.
Yeah. With her, it's deeply personal, and again, this is the part that's really key. Comes with a religion. Comes with her religion. It's not the fact. I don't really care that Dianne Feinstein says she's been pro-life. That's true. Senator Graham even said that as the chairman. It's the way she said, I suspect with her, it's because that just comes with her religious belief.
Because at bottom.
Caught again.
Exactly what they've always wanted to do. They were embarrassed to do it this time in a live mic, so they got caught in a hot mic. They didn't want to do it when they're there asking questions, but they sure, when they're, that's all they're thinking about. You know what this means, Jordan? Fan, Amy Barrett will be the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States in about 2 weeks.
Yes, because
that's what it means.
Dianne Feinstein just made the ad
again
for the Trump campaign. That's the truth.
As
she's
Jeff
making
Toobin
ads
said,
for all senators that are Republican and the Donald Trump for his campaign. She did it once again. She made Amy Barrett a star. Now she made her a Supreme Court Justice. I think you're right. We'll be back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This is happening again. This is breaking news, folks, that, again, is just because, you know, C-SPAN, unlike some other news outlets, when the hearing is ongoing and they take those breaks, they just kind of keep the camera on. I mean, that's known. The senators know that. And the senators, by the way, no one's, like, in their face with a microphone right now, but they do have to turn off their mics, and other senators do, and there's live mics. You got to know that if you're in that room, there's cameras on you, it's live right now, and that what you say is probably being picked up by people. Well, Dianne Feinstein wouldn't say it during the hearing when she was speaking to her microphone this time, but she's done it again, attacking, obsessing over Judge Barrett's religious faith, saying... Just moments ago, when they were in a break, and it will play you the sound again, that it comes, that her pro-life views just come with her religious faith. I mean, again, they are barred by the Constitution of the United States from even considering your religious faith. Article 6, when they are deciding whether you are fit to serve in a position in the government. But yet they are obsessed. So I will say this again because we're going to a break. Senator Dianne Feinstein made Amy Barrett a star amongst conservatives all across the country, not just conservatives in the legal world, but conservative activists. And people were so excited about her because she brought attention to her hearing and attention to Amy Barrett before she was even a judge. Because she said the dogma lives, you know, loudly within you and deeply and all of that. And so that became huge. And then Durbin said the Orthodox Catholic thing. And so people said, well, let's really follow her then on the bench, because this is absurd what they've done. It got all this attention. Usually circuit court nominees don't. And it really elevated her as someone to watch. Well, they did. And so now she's been nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States because of what Dianne Feinstein did. We knew she would get the nomination, I think, definitely came with the fact that she became elevated as someone who people were paying attention to, who helped advise the president on making these decisions. And now she's been caught again, Dad. We'll play it in a second, but I believe, and you believe too. So Dianne Feinstein made sure, you know, ensured she'd be a circuit court nominee, because that was it after she said that. They just basically stopped and just moved the nomination through because the pushback was so strong. But she just did it again. I think they're done again because this is going to be all over the news in minutes, and people don't like, and the Constitution bars this obsession they have over people's personal religious faith.
I want to ask our production team if they could find for me, it may take a few minutes, Jeff Toobin's statement. When he referenced Dianne Feinstein, he said she shouldn't even be on the committee, and then made the statement, then when they attack a religion again, he said, yeah, good luck with that. That's not going to work out very well. And then, yet they did it, you know, it's even if they don't say it publicly, now they're saying it privately, but on a hot mic. So I think it'd be good if we can, we'll play what Dianne Feinstein said, but let's also dig up what Jeff Toobin said just a couple of weeks ago leading into this hearing. I think that's very relevant.
Yeah, I mean, this is, let's listen again. So Senator Feinstein, so let me just explain again what happened. So the hearing is live stream on places like C-SPAN. And when they take a break, they don't shut off their stream because the senators are moving around. They let people see the imagery of that and kind of like what happens. Senators all know that. You can see the cameras. You know, they're all over, actually. But C-SPAN, and they also get the audio feed from the microphones. I mean, they're not doing anything wrong by that. That's how they hear. That's how they're able to broadcast the audio. But they keep it running because they don't go to commercial break. So if it's silent, it's silent on C-SPAN. They don't care. And if it's just crowd noise, room noise, that's fine. Well, Senator Feinstein was talking to someone, and she said this, and either that person's mic wasn't off or her mic wasn't off, and it's being broadcast live. Take a listen.
She's been pro-life for a long time. So I suspect that her is a deep person.
So there it is again, Dad. It comes with her religion because it's and so she's pro-life for a long time, and it just comes with her faith. By the way, you could be pro-life and not religious. You could think that, you know, killing a baby in 8 months is wrong. You could believe that abortion is wrong for scientific and medical reasons. It's not just about religious faith, but
they said
the fact that they're obsessed so much with religious faith is what upsets me so much. It's outrageous. It's disgusting. And the founding fathers knew even that they should never, ever decide about anyone's qualifications, whether they're qualified or not to serve in a government position based on that person's religious belief. And they actually bar it in the U.S. Constitution.
We have an oath clause in the
Constitution. Way before you get to the Bill of Rights and the amendments.
Oh, yeah, right. You can't have no religious tests. I mean, it can be any clearer than that. There are no religious tests, which Dianne Feinstein obviously doesn't agree with because she always comes back to a religious test, even when she doesn't want to say it during the questioning. Now, do we have the Jeff Toobin soundbite? Will?
Too sick. Yeah, here we go. No. What are you saying, Will? We're working on it right now. All right, let me just figure out. I'm not sure what's going on with the team in there, but we'll take your okay. We got it. Here you go.
Okay, go play.
Her incredibly inept behavior during Judge Barrett's confirmation hearing had an enormous consequence that helped the forces that Dianne Feinstein has spent her entire career fighting against. I mean, that's just what happened.
So again, but they did it. Dad, I mean, that is the key. And Than, I go to Than too. This is Article 6. They're not supposed to do this. And she got caught the first time because she did it right to her face, to Judge Barrett's face. Said, many of us are concerned because it sounds like the dogma lives loudly within you. And that was outrageous. Dick Durbin, who's now talking right now, you know, he called her an Orthodox Catholic, which is just a made up way, I guess, of saying that a Catholic that actually believes in the tenets of the Catholic faith. But these are not their jobs. And yet they obsess over it, and Dianne Feinstein continues to obsess over it with this nominee.
Jordan, I think this is an example of out of the depths of the heart, the mouth speaks. I mean, Dianne Feinstein said it in public last time. She wasn't willing to say it in public this time, but very revealing. As soon as the cameras not go off, as soon as she thinks maybe that nobody's paying attention, she says it again. Jordan, but I just want to reiterate this point. I mean, you've made it, but we have to say it again. Why is it that you can be pro-choice and agnostic and not get this question at all? Of course you're qualified based on your legal experience, but if, God forbid, you're pro-life
literally
and fervent in your faith, you have to come before a committee and get this kind of animosity. Not only is it inappropriate, it is unconstitutional, plainly, under Article 6.
But, you know, when it comes to the life issue, I've said this for 40 years, I'll say it again today, there is an abortion distortion factor. It changes all of the rules of the Constitution. It changes all the rules of normative behavior. It changes all the rules for confirmation for justices, Supreme Court. Do you think for a moment, did anybody really think that this wasn't in the back of Dianne Feinstein's mind or at the forefront of it? The senator said it during the confirmation hearing when Amy Barrett was up for a Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. She mouthed it again to a live mic that she may not have known was live. But folks, don't deceive yourself. This is what they want to do with people of faith. This is the animus. They're the ones that have animus. They're the ones engaged in discriminatory conduct. They're the ones that want to change the rules if you have faith or if you're going to actually put your faith into action on an issue like life. They're the ones that distort the meaning of the Constitution. They're the ones that hold up the Constitution and are willing to shred it to get their way. Literally willing to shred it. Like there's a no religious oath test clause in the Constitution of the United States for a reason. The founding fathers were smart. They understood exactly what this senator is thinking. And as Jeff Toobin said, good luck with that. It did not work out well with you last time. And let me tell you what it just means this time. Confirmed. So Dianne Feinstein, congratulations. And I thank you because I think that Amy Coney Barrett's going to be a fantastic Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. You did it again.
Well, they can't, will be they can't help confirmed themselves.
Now. They can't stop.
They hate
now.
Religious Absolutely people. Not. I mean, I will say this far. They have a serious disdain, maybe a level of hatred for people that actually have deeply held religious beliefs. Now, many of them are associated with a particular religious faith and will say that they've got religious beliefs. But if you actually, again, they have this secular worldview of their religion. So if you have personal, actual religious faith, it's not just like a cultural or part of what you do as a community, but you actually believe it, oh, they hate you for that. This person actually believes what you go in here at church, or they actually believe what you go in here at the synagogue or the mosque, they got something wrong with them. I mean, they may go to the church or the synagogue or the mosque, but I don't actually believe that stuff. You know, they call themselves Catholic, but they're not pro-life, even though that's a main tenet of the Catholic Church. And so again, this idea that if you're actually a person of religious faith, you're somehow, there's something wrong with you. It's disgusting. And it's why I think the left might just continue to lose and continue to lose. Don't know? I mean, we're less than 3 weeks out from the election. But people don't like this disdain they show for people just who have religious faith and actually believe it. We'll be back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. So again, I want to take some phone calls, but I want to hit that one more time just so people are joining us, because this is breaking and it's happened in the midst of, and it really hasn't gotten to the news yet because you've got the hearing started again, but it's out now in social media because it was happening during one of the breaks. But C-SPAN doesn't cut from the breaks; they don't have commercials, and they let people see it for various reasons. They keep the camera on. You kind of see like what's going on in the hearing room, and you see the senators walking around, and there's microphones everywhere, and they can turn those off. I have a button right here that can turn my microphone off, but if you don't turn it off, and you could be definitely talking to somebody who maybe it's their mic that's not off. So there's lots of microphones everywhere. There's video cameras everywhere. Yep. And all these senators, especially Dianne Feinstein, has been there forever, know that C-SPAN doesn't stop their feed and cut to break. So it's like you're not really in private. You were in public, and it's very public. And they've caught her again going, attacking Judge Barrett's religious faith, and say, you know, it's too much. It comes with her faith that she's pro-life. So
you know,
nothing we can do to change her about being pro-life.
You know, here's the thing: it is a breaking news alert in one sense, but in another sense, it's not a breaking news alert at all. You know why? Does anybody really question that those members of the Senate Judiciary Committee don't think that the fact that she is a person of faith, that cuts against what they want? Of course they do. So now they mouthed it the last time she was up for the Seventh Circuit, and they got a lot of pushback. And they got a lot of, I don't know if we ever found the bite with Jeff Toobin where he says good luck with that, if they try that again. But of course, so I'll play that in a moment, but... So in a sense, it's a breaking news alert because she's caught on a live mic. But in another sense, of course, this is how she thinks. Because they think if you're a person of faith, you don't get to participate in these kind of positions. Or you cannot be a public servant or a justice on the Supreme Court of the United States.
I mean,
you know, that's the irony of all this. But Jeff Toobin from CNN said this about Dianne Feinstein. I want you to listen to it, especially what he says at the end.
Dianne Feinstein was and is a distinguished public servant who has served for many years on the Supreme Court. She is now 87 years old, and she has repeatedly engaged in behavior in recent months that seem out of step with what Democrats want to do. And, you know, she is going to be the leader of the Democratic forces on the Judiciary Committee. And all I can say is good luck with that, Democrats.
Well, and Jeff was prophetic in that sense, because that's exactly what happened. All right, let's take some calls.
It's interesting. I was looking at, because this is out mostly on social media, it was actually CBN News. It was not C-SPAN. It was our friends over at CBN News who kept their feed going, and they didn't cut it or anything. They just people saw it, that they're in their feed, which they have the access to because the government gives you that, the Senate, you know, the audio and to the mics, and they kept their, they just had like a one camera feed going. Nothing unique or special.
Good job, CBN.
And our again, special advisor Rick Rennell, you know, this idea that he tweeted out that this is the way she sounds there, is that being somehow a person of religious faith comes with baggage. It comes with being pro-life instead of like freeing you from baggage. It comes with baggage. And one of that with Judge Barrett is like, well, so long as she's so religious, well, she's going to be pro-life. We can't do anything. You know what she's kind of saying there is, she's not going to be one of those Supreme Court justices that moves to the left. That's what she's saying. She has a religious belief, and we're not going to be able to convince her at cocktail parties to ultimately come along our side.
Yeah, because the dogma lives deeply within her.
Yep. I mean, just let it sit in, folks. Let it sit. Let's take the calls. People, hold on. Ed in New York on line one. Ed, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I heard you mention that there is a law about these big tech companies censoring people and organizations. Why is there no teeth in this law? Why do they have to keep bringing these big tech guys before committees to answer questions? Why aren't they fined billions of dollars? Really, really make a mark.
Well, you can't just fine. You can't just fine people billions of dollars without due process. So I want to be clear on this. I think Senator Graham and Senator Cruz, Senator Hawley are right to call for a hearing to find out what happened. There is no magic bullet here. There is no law you could say, okay, you're charged and $5 billion is what you're going to pay because you made these statements. That's not the way the law works, Ed. I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening. And we would not want the law to operate that way because if it did, it would affect all of us too. So what do? You call for a hearing and you find out exactly what happened before you take the next action. These are private companies. The rules are different. It's not a state actor here. But what they have such a big footprint that they're applicable laws. But the idea that you just go in and fine them $5 billion, well, our team doesn't do that.
No, I mean, no. You got to have the investigation. You got to have the hearing. You got to see the pattern in practice that they continue to do it. They continue to do it selectively to a group. So it's not just wrong censorship on like both sides, but is it censoring a particular viewpoint? Here it appears to be mostly conservative. There's FCC rules. There's all these different rules. Some are fines, like you talk about, and then the others are, again, but to develop those fines, you've got to kind of see this record of when they said they were going to start doing this censorship because the left was calling on them to do it, which is so ironic in many ways, how would they do it? They said they were going to be fair. It was going to be very selective and go through practices, and now it's been only conservatives. That's the problem. With this, let's go to Kay in South Carolina on line three. Hey, Kay.
Hey there. I'm so glad for all that y'all do. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I know that the Amy Coney Barrett hearing, it was wonderful. She held up great, and I'm excited to have her join the bench. My question is, there's talk now that the Democrats are going to try the only trick, I guess, that they have left, and that is to boycott these so that they wouldn't show up. What can the Republicans do, and how can we overcome that?
Vote is all you have to do. Go to Than Bennett on that. All you have to do is vote, because if none of them show up, there's still a quorum, Than, and the vote goes forward.
Yep, you don't need them. They've said they're not going to provide a quorum to either the committee or the floor. Well, guess what? They don't have a majority in either the committee or the floor. So you know what? Actually, in some ways, Jay, maybe the vote would be easier if they didn't show up. There's enough Republicans to provide a quorum. There's enough Republicans to confirm her.
Yeah, especially now, Jordan, with this latest revelation of Dianne Feinstein's, which is no shock because we know this is what she was thinking the entire time. So who's surprised at any of this? But let's be realistic here. They don't show up, she's still confirmed. If they show up, she's still confirmed. So you know what it means at the end of the day? She's confirmed.
I think and they don't understand that because these senators may not have seen this yet, that this has happened. So that Blumenthal and her and Feinstein was even talking. I think probably Feinstein is learning about this right now because they're showing the hearing and she was speaking as the ranking member of the hearing, and then she left, and now I'm sure she is finding out what is now all over social media, and that is her hot mic moment on this. So I feel like you're going to go from these senators who have already been, I mean, again, they have looked, the ones who have tried to engage look ridiculous, but I think this will, again, this will kind of wrap this one up again, because they've made another ad. During 19 days before an election, four Republicans running for the Senate, for the president, because they are attacking their ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, the highest ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, is showing her disdain once again for someone because of their religious faith. And is that a tenet of the Democrat Party? Yeah, secularism. Now, again, we'll talk about this more tomorrow on the broadcast, the other stories we were getting to. Go to ACLJ.org, support our work, ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.